I notice sometimes that in my life I tend to forget like what God has done, and it's just been really good for me to go back in my past and just remember what God has done in my life. I want to share something from Revelation. It's in Revelation 10. Now, Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." So I think it's important that we remind ourselves we remind ourselves of what God has done, and we remember that. I think it was Joshua was sharing a couple months back, and he was saying of how the Israelites, God would do many wonderful things in their lives, and they would forget about it, and then they would start complaining, and they wouldn't be satisfied with, you know, the way their lives were going. And it tends to go that way in our lives as well. If we forget about what God has done and his goodness, and we forget about the way he's redeemed us and brought us out of the darkness and into the light, we tend to start complaining and be discontented or those kind of things tend to give the devil a foothold in our life if we're constantly just, you know, we're not happy with where we're at. We're not contented. But yeah, I was asked to share my testimony this morning. I grew up on a farm, and I had a lot of what I remember when I was a young boy was there was lots of work to do. So there was growing up milking cows, working out in the fields. I didn't really like it. I didn't like to work. And I remember at a young age I got depressed just because of all the work that there was to do. And it was like my parents were always busy. And there was a time in my life when I was about 9 years old when I didn't want to, like, I wanted to run away. I didn't want to be at home anymore. And one of the number one reasons for that was because I didn't feel love. Like, it seemed like my parents were so busy that they didn't take time to love me. And it was like what my heart was crying out for was love. And I thought that, you know, I'm not, you know, nobody really cares about me. And I could just run away and maybe, or if I would get hurt or something, maybe somebody would care about me then. But I didn't run away, thankfully. And I had a lot of fun growing up. I had a lot of fun with my dad. He taught me a lot of things. He didn't teach me really like spiritual things or things about God's word, or he didn't teach me about salvation, but we still had a lot of fun growing up. He taught me a lot of different things. He was a mechanic, and he taught me a lot of those kind of things. So I don't remember a whole lot of those years, but I remember as I was growing up, I remember at the age of like 13 or 14, there was just like so many things that the devil was throwing at me and that I didn't know how to handle. Like, I was at that age where my life was just saturated with lust and all sorts of different things. And I didn't really recognize that it was that wrong. Like, it was something my dad had never talked to me about. And I just didn't, you know, I'm not really sure. I didn't know how wrong it is to be involved in some of those things. When I turned 16, I then I got involved in porn, and I was a porn addict for like 3 years. And I remember thinking, like, this is wrong. Like, I'm not supposed to be involved in this. But I didn't really know. I would strive. I would want to be free from that. Like, I would be watching things I shouldn't, and then I would realize, like, I have to quit this. And thoughts would go through my mind, like, I'm probably going to go to hell if I die. Like, if I die and I'm doing this these kinds of things, I'm probably going to end up in hell. And I honestly didn't think it would be that bad. I can say that I convinced myself that that's going to be okay. You know, if I die and go to hell, you know, how bad can it really be? So I was, when I was 17, I had an experience where I was, we were getting ready for the youth group. We were going to have a youth group that Sunday. And it was Saturdays, and I was moving some equipment around with a tractor. And I was coming down a hill, and there was a bunch of equipment down at the bottom. I was taking everything up to the top of the hill behind the barn. And I would come down the hill and turn around and get a piece of equipment, take it up to the top of the hill. And I was getting pretty comfortable with this. It was a John Deere tractor. It was like a tricycle with two wheels in the front. And I would come down the hill, make a U-turn. And the one time I was going way too fast. I came down through there and spun the steering wheel around, made a U-turn, and the tractor started tipping over. And the last I remember was I felt it tip, and I'm like, I have to get off of this thing. I have to jump. And I remember standing up. I don't remember jumping or flying through the air. The next thing I remember is I'm standing there, and I look around, the tractor is completely upside down, and the wheels are spinning. And I don't even, it was just like, God just lifted me off of there and set me down. Like, I don't even remember the impact of my feet hitting the ground, or I was just standing there. And that really shook me up, because I was like, what if I would have died? What if, you know, what if God would have pulled me off of there and I would have been crushed? And it put me on a journey of, you know, searching things out, like, you know, what happens when we die? Where am I going to go? Like, how do I know that I'm going to go to heaven? Or, you know, what if I'm going to end up in hell? And I didn't have anybody in my life at that time that I could go to with those kinds of questions. So I just kind of shrugged it off and went back to, you know, living my sinful life. And then the summer that I turned 18, I was joining church. And I had just planned to join church just because, kind of. I mean, it was just, you know, that age where you're supposed to, and that was why I was doing it, basically. I mean, my eyes were being opened to the truth at the time, but I wasn't born again when I decided that I want to join church and get baptized. But that summer, no, that spring, I was working with the guy. And one of my friends and I had a conversation earlier one time about, you know, whether or not you can know if you go to heaven. And I was like, well, that's, you know, that's a pointless argument. You can't know. You can't say that, you know, I have hope or I'm going to make it into heaven. You can't say that, because who knows? And it's, anyway, I was working, I was doing construction over that time, and this driver that I was working with, he was a Christian. We were working together, and he was really bold. He would share things with me. Anyway, we got into this discussion, and I'm like, one of my friends believes that that you can know if you're saved or not. And he's like, well, you can. And I'm like, but how? So he told me, you know, he shared the gospel with me. And at that point, I was somewhat familiar with the gospel and that kind of thing. I hadn't given my life to Christ yet, but it was through a journey like that summer that I came to know the Lord. I was still involved in porn, and one of my sisters actually found it out. And she wrote me a letter and just told me about this, you know, that she's really concerned about it. And I just remember going to bed that night, and I just cried myself to sleep. Like, it was the first time in my life that anybody else ever knew about the struggles that I had and the things that I was going through. Like, up until that point, for 3 years, it had been completely hidden. Nobody knew about it. And it just felt so good that somebody else actually knew about it. Even though I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want anybody to know about it. But it was a relief when somebody actually did find out. So it was through that and different people that God placed into my life that I came to Christ, and he redeemed me. He delivered me from the addictions that I had. It was still a journey of walking, you know, walking that out, and there's many struggles along the way. And it was during that time when I got born again that I became really really angry and bitter at my dad. I would blame him a lot for the things that I'd done and the things I struggled with. I would blame him because he wasn't there for me. He didn't teach me about the things I needed to know, and I blamed everything on him. And I literally hated him. I didn't like him, and I didn't like being around him. I was really good at hiding it. He didn't know that I didn't like him or that I was angry toward him. I wouldn't express it. It was just a feeling toward him that I would hide. And then I came to a point in my life where I was able to forgive him for everything he'd done. And we haven't talked about all of that stuff. Like, I've talked to him about some of that stuff, but there was still a time in my life where I had all this pain, like from hurts that I had from my dad. And every time I would talk about it, like, it felt like I could just cry, because there was so many wounds and things in my life that just every time I would think about it, or every time I would talk about my dad, there was just this deep pain. And then there was a time in my life when I recognized that I was actually hanging on to that pain. Like, I wanted to keep that pain. Like, I felt like I had the right to hurt, and I didn't actually want to let go of it. And when that was revealed to me, that I need to, like, it's wrong for me to hang on to this. I have to release it and forgive him. Like, I thought I had forgiven him, but I hadn't actually, because it felt good to hurt and to be frustrated with the way that he had raised me. So after I repented of that and I was able to release him and just, you know, all that healed from just releasing my father and repenting of just hanging on to that hurt and that anger. And it totally changed, you know, our relationship, and the way I view my dad is completely the opposite than it was when I was, you know, 19 and 20. I then started dating. We started dating when in 2018, August of 2018, and we got married in November of 2019. And then last spring, this would have been about a year ago, we had a miscarriage. There was twins, actually. And then we had a second miscarriage in July. And through all that, it's been really hard to understand, you know, why God would allow something like that to happen. Why would, you know, we've desired to have children and we would love to be parents. Why would he allow that to happen? But God has been really good through all that. He has the one of the main things he's been teaching us is to just trust him. And it's really hard to do. It's hard to just trust him with the future and you know, just to hand everything over to God and tell him that you're going to trust him with it. And, you know, he knows what the outcome is going to be, and he's trustworthy. But sometimes it's just, yeah, it's really been a journey of just being able to fully rely on what God has for us and to just completely trust him. I also want to share a little bit of our recent journey with leaving the Amish and different things that have been going on. We never thought that we would. We always thought we would leave at some point. You know, we didn't think that we would always be Amish if things continue the way they are. But we never figured it would happen this soon. I was very convicted of some of the things I was doing. It felt like a lot of things that I did, I was hiding from the leaders and the elders in our church. I didn't feel good about it. I just felt like I can't go to church and have a good conscience and be able to talk with them if I'm doing all these things in my life and they don't even know about it. Not necessarily things that are sinful, but things that they didn't want. You know, they didn't want their church members to have that. So through that, I decided I need to have a conversation with the bishop in the church we were living at, the district we were living in at the time. And we had a good conversation. I basically just wanted to know, you know, what's required of me. And one of the main things was we had friends and some of our siblings were excommunicated at the time, and I just asked him, you know, we is it okay if we drive with them and that kind of thing? And he was just like, it basically came down to you either support our church or you support them. And through that, I felt like in order to honor him and to keep peace with him or whatever, we're better off just leaving. And that's kind of what took us there. It's really been a journey to keep a relationship with our parents or with my parents. But one thing that I've found is honoring them. Like even if we don't agree, I can honor them, and it's really powerful to be able to just to honor them and to respect them for what they believe and for what their convictions are, and just let some of that stuff go and not feel like I have to constantly be pressing in and challenging them on areas, you know, that we differ in. So that's been a blessing. Like I said, our relationship is really good. A few things I wanted to share. When I got born again, I was extremely selfish. Like, life was all about me, and it was just like, as long as I was getting what I was wanting, I was happy. And everybody else, you know, as long as it doesn't matter where everybody else is, you know, as long as I'm happy, life is good. So that was the first thing that God convicted me of when I got born again, is my selfishness. And I have a few verses I want to share here. That's in Matthew 25, verse 40, where it says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And then further down in 45 it says, "Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And I was convicted, because what I was seeing out of this verse was what I'm doing to other people is basically as if I'm doing it to Jesus. And I just always had that image in my mind ever, like, after that, every time I wanted to be selfish or I wanted to put myself first, I remembered that I need to be treating these people as if they're Christ and I need to be Christ-like to them. So that was very convicting to me, and it literally, yeah, it just changed a lot of things. There was there was people in our youth group that I didn't like to spend time with. There was just a few guys right my age that I didn't necessarily like, and it was interesting how when I got born again, a few years later, those people actually became my best friends, and I spent more time with them than I did with the people that I used to hang out with. So that was, it was just interesting how God turned that around, and we could actually, you know, we became friends through all that. Another verse that God spoke to me is James 4, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin." And that was also very convicting, because there was many times when I knew that I had to do something. I had to do good to somebody, and I didn't want to. And it's basically saying, if you don't do it, it's a sin. That was just very, very thought-provoking. It was a very a new way of looking at things that I just hadn't been used to, you know, treating people that way. And I also want to share a little bit on just different things, a lot of things God has been teaching me. I want to share a few verses here. This is a verse that kept coming up a few times recently, and I'm very convicted by it. It says in St. John 14, verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." And then 23 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him." So I was challenged by that. You can tell how much you love Jesus by how willing you are to obey him. And I was challenged by that, because there's many times in my life where I'm not as willing as I should be. I'm not always willing to do whatever he asks me, or to go all out, or sometimes some things that he reveals to me look like a burden to me. But that actually reveals, like, do I love him like I should? So that's pretty much all I have to share. Merv, if you want to come up.